this is Father Schnuder Mansell. Welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese in affiliate regions. And with me I have...
Richard.
Yes, Richard, it's just you and I today at the studios today. We want to talk today about the sanctity of life. What is the sanctity of life? Why is life sacred? And none of that... War. Is there any purpose in war? And forgiveness. Where forgiveness has. And after a short break, we're going to go straight into the gospel.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone. Be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Instead of drinking late at the bar, some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. Take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
get a fast car? Is it fast enough so you can fly away? Do you gotta make a decision? Leave tonight or live and die this way?
Now we're ready for our gospel reflection. Turn into the Gospel of John, chapter 11, from verse 1 to verse 45. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the Twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that she arose quickly and came to him. When Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him, then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She's going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God?" Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Truly, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the one with one word said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the tomb, wrapped in grave clothes, his face with grave clothes. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him." And they did. So what is this? Tells us that God has value for life. God teaches us to respect life. Jesus wept over Lazarus. And Jesus made sure that he was dead, and was dead for 4 days, and made sure that the stench would come out of the tomb in order for people to believe that Lazarus was truly dead. Otherwise, they would have said the man was asleep. Otherwise, they would question that Lazarus was dead. But Jesus remained where he was until he knew that the stench would be coming out. So when Jesus came, he groaned from within. He loved Mary and Martha. Obviously showed that he loved Lazarus. In one verse it says that Jesus wept. It shows us how much that Jesus loved Lazarus. and it's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Verse 35. Jesus wept. Can you imagine that? Jesus, the Son of God, crying over another man, another human being? So how much more is God crying over the merciless killings, over all those that take on judgment into their hands to kill people? How can man take the life of another human being? It shows you that life is sacred. Life is sacred. And we should never put a label on another human being in order to say life is not sacred. Richard.
Thank you, Father. As you said, you know, the verse, and he and Jesus wept, is a very powerful verse on its own. And it's, as you were saying, how much is he crying over every child, over a person that is created in his image, that's being suppressed, that's being that's suffering around the world and even in our own country. It's a matter of not just think about it for a second and ignore. It's something that we should act on straight away. As Christians, as people of religion around the world, not just Christianity, but Muslim, Hindu, Jews, everything, it should be a matter of we all combine together, forget, you know, all our differences, and work together for the better of mankind, to help out those and to help each other in everything that we do. And it's just a matter of the gospel is there to guide us for a reason. The gospel is there for us to learn from it and to understand from it. It's not just a book to read.
And on that note, we shall have a short break and come back and talk about the sanctity of life.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.
It's always so beautiful to hear Louis Armstrong on, you know, what a wonderful world. And truly, God gave us a wonderful world. And that gives us to our new segment now, the sanctity of life, or in other words, the sacredness of life.
Life is sacred. Over this last week, a number of things have been happening around the world. The attacks in France, the attacks in Germany, and many other events that happened in Indonesia, and with the death penalty, and also the shooting in the mall in Turkey, and also shooting in America. You know, nearly every day there's something happening, a worldwide phenomenon. Merciless killings. And this merciless killings, by the way, it tells us that people start to value life has no value by these individuals. Some individuals are radicals. Some individuals, they say, is a lone wolf. Some individuals are, you know, they say mentally disturbed. So they're placing labels on the fruit. But I want to say that putting everything aside, life is sacred. One cannot take life for life. One cannot take and say that I am judge and I'll take your life. This is not Hollywood, as though this is a Terminator. None of us are able to take someone's life. The last person that in the state of New South Wales of the death penalty, he was an innocent man. The man came out years later say that I was the one that actually did the killing. The last person that was hanged in the gallows in New South Wales was an innocent man. So that's the reason why that of New South Wales and Australia took away the death penalty. Is there another form where a person is able to understand what he's done wrong? Absolutely. Spending time in detention over a number of years will give a person time to think what they've done wrong. Not everything is able to be taking someone's life. Obviously, people respect the law of the land, but sometimes the merciless killing of other individuals as though eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth does not pertain to today's 21st century. Even in some laws saying that if you steal, we'll cut your hand. If you, in some parts of the world, if you do something wrong, they punish you. In some places, stoning. If you commit adultery, and other things that sort of in the Western world is not acceptable. I mean, if I did something wrong, okay, cut me hands. If I did walk in the wrong place, you know, cut me leg off. If I looked at something wrong, you know, take me eyes out. I mean, how am I supposed to operate? How am I supposed to feed myself? How am I supposed to wash myself? You know, I would be needing 24-hour attention. Defeats the purpose. So obviously, there must be another mean. And may I say to you, the gospel talks about another mean, that we should be able to provide rehabilitation for this individual that wrong in society. That way they will see their purpose in life. That life after death, eternity is real. Now I want to say, having said that, we really need to look at all of society because life is sacred. We cannot condemn one and give another one sacredness. The death penalty is wrong. And death penalty, by the way, should be replaced with some detention. And I realize in some countries they have a right to their own laws. And it's highly respected. But we're talking about human rights.
You know, Daesh has, or ISIS, speaking to a number of Muslims. And they would say that their work, what they have done in many parts around the world, is evil. Has nothing to do with Islam. And may I say that even over the last couple of days, that many of the Muslim people spoke up against them. And we commend this because it's evil. Richard.
Yeah, Father. Now, I completely agree with you that I know a few, I have a few Muslim friends, and they all agree and all say that what ISIS is doing, what Daesh is doing, is completely against their religion, completely against what they believe in, and it's completely against human rights. Now, as you were saying about the punishment of the capital punishment, I don't agree with it at all. It's not a punishment on the people. It's that, yeah, you end their life, but that's it. The real punishment is on their families. The real punishment is on their friends. They're the ones that have to go through all the pain. They're the ones that have to go through the suffering of living without that person, living knowing that that person is out of their lives forever. Now, I don't think that's fair. I understand that that person did something wrong. It could be something small, it could be something big. They still did something wrong, and they deserve punishment. And that's the law. That's completely fine. It's just a matter of, there's other ways, as you said. Now, just putting them in jail could be enough, but sometimes there's more is needed. Sometimes you need to have counseling. Sometimes you need to have education sessions and to explain why this isn't acceptable, why this isn't a part of society as a norm. And that in itself can work. Those kind of things can work depending on, you know, how they go about it. And as I was saying before, I don't think capital punishment is acceptable because, you know, it's, you're taking a life. You're taking a life that's not your own. Now, in any religion, that's not acceptable. In any form of government, it shouldn't be acceptable. And in speaking in that, Father, I mean, it's, who are we? Who are we as people to say, to have the right to judge others in these kind of things? Yeah, if they do something wrong, but we don't have the right to take a life away. We don't have the right to say to someone, you don't deserve to live. Now, I'm going to go away from this part and then I'm going to go into another section of who are we to say that if, because you are different from me, you shouldn't live. Because you are, you believe that you have a different sexuality, what, you don't deserve to live. That's not acceptable. Everyone has the right to live their own life, no matter what it is. No matter what they believe in, it is how everyone was raised, and that's how everyone should be thinking. We open our doors for everyone to come, and we accept everyone. And when us as humans start rejecting, that's when us as humans are going to start to degrade to anarchy and to complete chaos. And it's already starting.
And on that note, we shall come back and talk about lessons we learn from war.
Thousands of mothers I have, when their sons go on to fight. again.
What is war good for? And obviously, you know, as though that sort of this whole aspect. And if we look at what's happening in Iraq, the many people that died, Syria, the many people that died. I'm talking about contemporary stuff. If we went to, all of us did our modern history at school, World War One. World War II, Vietnam War. And if we look at, you know, other modern history prior to World War One in the, you have the Balkan Wars. So you have many, many, many part of history. Napoleon, for example, he wanted to conquer the world. And you have the other aspects of many revolutions happened in last century. And, you know, it's uprising through. Many people died. So what's the point of war? In a few words, war is evil. But the men and women, by the way, that go to war, one cannot blame them because they had to fulfill what their generals and what the country, you know, standing up to defend the country and defend the land. Australia, we are very much blessed because many, many, many men and women had died in order to keep this land free. We're very much blessed that the blood of the soldiers has given us freedom for you and I to experience today. So, the blood of all of these men and women did not went to waste, that you and I will have that freedom. But is there another alternative besides having war? There is. And that aspect is the respect for each other, having the every kind having the full autonomy towards their own resources. We should not annex a country in order to take over their resources. And you know, the world is changing. The world has changed. The world is not the same as it was, say, 20 years ago or 10 years ago. We should live in peace with one another. The world is a small place, not as big as people think it is. At the same time, we should love humanity. The disastrous part of the effect of war is very psychological. It's forever, meaning it's a life sentence. Seeing a person dying in front of you is a life sentence. Seeing a person that was walking with you, you know, and shot before you, or then the mines and so forth, is ferocious. Losing a leg in war is ferocious, or hand and eye, or the nerve gas that we have ruined, and many, many bad things. The Hiroshima bomb was bad. Look at the many people, and also and I remember Obama made a point of it. Death fell from the sky. That was using his own words. So obviously that all of this war is evil. Richard.
Yeah, Father. War itself is evil, and I agree. But as you were saying, you know, we have so many brave men and women that go to protect our country. And it's not because they're under orders, but it's because it's their passion. It's because it's what they believe in. And it's what I believe in as well. We believe in defending our country. And it's not saying that the other countries are evil. It's just saying that they believe in the exact same thing. We believe in the same thing, but it's just the communication has fallen. And that's what always happens. And it's just basically, it's like a fight on the street. It's the communication has fallen and it turns into a fist fight. But this kind of fist fight is on a global scale. And it's that in itself is what's upsetting, is that the communications falls on this kind of level where so many lives is at risk. Where, as you were saying, it's not the effects of war. It's not just, you know, a loss of life, but there's so many psychological, everything is affected by it.
Every family is affected. Every household is affected. Every house is affected. Every community is affected.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there is not one community that is excluded. It's every community is affected, Richard.
Absolutely.
It's ferocious.
Yeah.
And when Australia, on the 25th of April, on a yearly basis, we remember the Anzacs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That way, their death is never forgotten.
Absolutely.
That's why it says, lest we forget. But we put on a national day, in memory of all these men and women who lost their lives for us. And Australia does it well with the returned soldiers that will look after them.
Mm.
And, you know, their health, all the days of life, and the families as well. The widows, the many widows, by the way, lost their husbands or their spouses in, you know, from World War One, World War Two.
And nowadays,
and you know, if it's from the Iraq War or from, you know, Vietnam War, but
it's not just that; it's PTSD as well, Father. I mean, it's post-traumatic stress disorder. That in itself is a consequence of war, and it's one of the major killers of the soldiers.
Richard, you and I serve the homeless men and women in the streets of Sydney.
Mm.
And I don't like to talk about our services to the homeless, but we've got to talk about on this point here. Some of those men and women that we serve are product of those walls. So not as though it's not the case. That is the case. And we see their mental health distorted, destroyed. I've got no other word for it. So they went to protect our society. But I think it's our turn to support them.
To give back.
And to give back. Not only in Australia, right throughout the whole world.
Yep.
And even if it's the Middle East, if it's in other places around the world, or the recent stuff that happened in Europe, or I'm just concerned that the world is at the brink of war,
yeah,
because of what's happening in the Middle East.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that, and that's why I hope that the communications uphold. A lot of people take for granted what is happening in this country. A lot of people take for granted what the police, what the army, what the government is doing to protect us. What this whole country is founded on. We're founded on, you know, acceptance. We're founded on accepting each other in no matter what it is, no matter what culture, no matter what background. And a lot of people tend to just take that for granted and use it for the wrong reasons. And that's upsetting in itself. And this whole segment is on war. What is it good for? And as this previous song was saying, absolutely nothing.
I loved it.
Absolutely nothing.
I loved it.
We don't, as me and you were discussing off air, we haven't learned from our past. We haven't learned from the previous wars that all the war is a cost of life. Yeah, there's someone that wants another country or that wants the other resources, but it is just a waste of life. How many people have died in World War One? How many people died in World War Two?
Millions, Richard. Millions. Yeah. Millions. Yeah. Millions. And
think about all the families, all the children that are going without their fathers, all the children that are going without their mothers, all the people that are going without their husbands, their wives, their brothers.
All the genocides that happened in World War One.
Yeah.
Genocide happened in World War Two.
Yeah.
And the recent genocide of the Syrian and Iraqi people.
Yeah.
We can't forget, you know, the genocide of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
In the many Jews, millions of Jews died in the hands of
Nazis.
The Nazis.
It's sad. It's a sad fact about our world is that sometimes war is a product of one person's ideology. And that's the sad fact about it.
Yeah. And on that note, we shall have a short break and talk about forgiveness, the lesson of life.
Troubles in my life, I'm walking away.
the sanctity of life and going to what is all good for, we need to talk about forgiveness. Without forgiveness, we are unable to go forward. And having the power of forgiveness, it also gives us the opportunity to let go and go forward. Forgiveness in society is so important. We need to forgive our enemy. We forgive those who hate us. We forgive those who do atrocities. We forgive those who do evil upon us. The power of forgiveness is huge. It gives us also the ability to forgive our brother. If we understand humanity as humanity, that we all have and do mistakes, it means that the power of forgiveness that God teaches us, that Jesus teaches us, is powerful and mighty. When Jesus on the cross, he said very clearly, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And we also share those sentiments, those words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know for what they are doing." Mind you, there's lots of people who have done atrocities over this last period. I don't think in having a rational mind they would have done what they have done. They were doing things irrational. In some parts they said they were accursed, not knowing what they were doing. And for this reason, we ask God to forgive them. Lord, forgive them, because our beloved Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that we need to forgive those who persecute us and kill us. Richard.
Yeah, Father. Unforgiveness, we've touched this topic quite a few times. It's a matter of turning the other cheek, and it's extremely hard to, especially when you lost a loved one, especially when you're affected by these atrocities, and these things just, it has such an effect on everyone every day, and it's very hard to just say, "We forgive you." But if we are to hold on to that anger, if we are to hold on to that sadness, if we are to hold on to that mentality, it is just them winning again and them causing more damage, because it's just going to tear at us. It's just going to eat at us. And it's just going to play games with our minds and our hearts and our emotions. It's a matter of, we're not letting it go for their sake. We're letting it go for our own sake, for our own mind, for our own mentality. There was a time where I used to get bullied at school, and for a long time I was like, "I'm never going to forgive these people. They're horrible, horrible people, and they deserve the worst." And that's not how it is. I was causing myself more pain because I kept thinking about it. But now it's just, I let it go and I moved on. And that is how it's better to do it. And of course, I can't say that, you know, the people that have suffered these things, it's easy for them to move on. Not at all. But I'm saying, for your own mentality, for your own sake, for your own life, you are to move on. It's best, because it's just going to eat at you until there's nothing left. And it's that's my idea of that's my views on forgiveness. And of course the Bible and Jesus gives us the strength to move on. It's just a matter of, we need to believe in that strength. We need to believe that God is giving us that power, because we can't do it on our own sometimes. We can never do it on our own, actually. And it's only by God's grace, only by God's power, can we truly forgive, can we truly forget and turn the other cheek, so that these things don't remain in our memories, don't remain in our hearts, and don't remain in our life for destroying at us.
Thank you, Richard, for those wise words on forgiveness. And after a short break, we shall come back and conclude the program for this afternoon.
Always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One word, one word.
We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
It's so
Something's wrong with it, something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah, we only got one world, and so we got one world.
And now it's time for the Did You Know segment.
And now it's time for us to say goodbye for another day, for another weekend. We hope that you enjoyed the program today titled The Sanctity of Life. And we hope that you enjoyed also that we talked about the sacredness of life. And what do you think? What's your conclusion about war? And what's your conclusion about forgiveness? And on that note, time to say have a GW, a great weekend, and when Monday comes, have a GW, have a great week. Signing off, this is Father Strumans for Copy Voice Radio. Shall see you next week. God bless. Amen.
Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, through Christ Jesus our Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.